Sponsorship of this KQED podcast is provided by Menlo Park Dental Excellence, providing general dentistry with quality care to all patients, serving patients one at a time with no triple booking, flexible hours Monday through Saturdays, mpdentalexcellence.com.
Good morning. This is the California Report. In for Rachel Miro, I'm Penny Nelson. Bay Area Rapid Transit is rolling this morning thanks to a late-night move by Governor Jerry Brown to intervene and head off the system's second strike in 5 weeks. Brown ordered a 3-person board of inquiry to investigate the dispute between the BART system and 3 of its unions and to report back by next Monday. The governor could then order a 60-day cooling-off period to allow negotiations to continue or do nothing. The board's report will be public, and Roxanne Sanchez, president of SEIU Local 1021, said that will give workers a chance to show what they've been up against in talks with the transit system.
Perhaps this will shed the light on just exactly what we've been trying to tell you, the press, and the public, that this employer has bargained without good faith. It has created the first strike, and it was eminently creating the second one.
Both sides say they're far apart on pay and on future contributions to pensions and medical benefits. BART Board President Tom Radulovich said the agency's proposals are fair.
I think if you look at our latest offer and you compare it to what other public workers are getting doing the same jobs, you'll see it's a very generous offer. This is not a union-busting offer. This is not a union-busting board.
Brown appointed Jacob Applesmith to head the Board of Inquiry. He's head of the Department of Alcoholic Beverage Control and worked for Brown in the State Department of Justice. In Sacramento, the State Assembly gets back to work today following its summer recess. The Senate does not return until next Monday, but both houses have a full plate of issues to tackle in these final 6 weeks of the legislative year, including the state's unemployment insurance system, regulation around fracking, and raising the minimum wage. More than 900 bills are pending, awaiting action before the close of session on September 13th. Conversing with Klingons may be a piece of cake in the Star Trek universe, but here on Earth, language translation apps still have a long way to go. Two Silicon Valley teams at Google and SRI International are making good progress, but will they ever get close to the Holy Grail? That would be translations as accurate and reliable as multilingual humans. Allison Van Diglin reports.
How are you today?
¿Cómo estás hoy?
我是美国人.
I'm an American.
Here at the Google headquarters in Silicon Valley, a team has been working since 2001 on Google Translate, software that aims to translate the entire world's information. Senior Communications Associate Roya Soleimani demonstrates.
Do you know the way to San Jose?
With the click of a mouse, she can access web pages in over 70 languages and get instant translations on her smartphone of text, speech, and even photos she's taken of menus and street signs.
You can have access to the world's languages right in your pocket. You know, the goal of Search is to become that ultimate Star Trek computer.
She explains how instant web page translation has become an indispensable tool for California school districts and cities to reach their multicultural communities. Josh Estelle leads the Google Translate team for mobile and articulates its lofty ambitions.
Google's mission was to organize the world's information, make it universally accessible and useful.
So how exactly does Google do it?
Right, so it's not bilingual elves as much as people might think. So our system is built off example data. We use what's called statistical machine translation.
Remarkably, there's not one linguist on Google's core team. They're all engineers or statisticians using computers to analyze billions of translations every day. But as our demo in Google's Yoshka's Cafe showed, it's not there yet.
Do you listen to KQED?
¿Qué escuchas qué?
Not quite. Seth Rosenblatt is a writer at tech product reviewers CNET. He types into his laptop.
I fancy my girlfriend. In Japanese, it is probably not good to say on radio.
There are countless examples of translation bloopers by Google and other competing services.
There's Bing, there's Babylon, there's Babelfish. There's also an Android app called iTranslate.
So why is it so hard? Google's Soleimani explains.
It's a very deep computer science problem. You know, there's so many idioms or nuances within language.
Not to speak of dialects, accents, and ambiguities. Spanish words like gordito, little plump one, can have several shades of meaning. from insults to terms of endearment, depending on the context. So, what's the solution? The Google team tackles it the Google way.
We can use those mathematical algorithms to process all this data and make sure we pull out the nuggets of truth, right? The good pieces of translation.
So Google translations are only as good as the translated data it finds online. Language researchers at Silicon Valley's SRI International, inventors of Apple's Siri, have a different approach that's more mission-specific. The Translation Lab's director is Kristen Prokoda. Her team demonstrates a smartphone app they developed for military personnel in Afghanistan to translate between English and Pashto.
Zama mashum marizde.
My son is sick.
I can take you to a hospital.
Well, in the demo we just showed you where it's interactive translation between two people, you know, those people are smart, leverage them.
Prokoda explains that they're working on equipping computers to learn from mistakes and ask for clarification. So what is the holy grail of translation? For Prokoda, it's as simple as the sentiment of the Hippocratic Oath.
First, do no harm. In military situations or medical situations, a poor translation can really do a lot of damage.
Jill Pelletieri teaches Spanish at Santa Clara University. She says machines will never fully replace human translators.
I would use the analogy of the supermarket and the self-checkout lane. There always has to be someone there watching over the machines because they make mistakes.
But Google is in a rush to win the translation race, even if that means mistakes. Here's Google's Josh Estelle.
We err on the side of launching things as quickly as we can, as early as we can. We dream of that Star Trek computer. We think we can eventually get there, right?
CNET's Seth Rosenblatt agrees.
Google Glass plus Google Translate could lead to something like a Star Trek translator.
But, he cautions, not anytime soon. For now, SRI's Prokoda has this advice for using online translations.
Trust but verify.
For the California Report, I'm Allison Van Diggelen.
That's the California Report for Monday, August 5th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Penny Nelson. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by URS, a global engineering and construction firm working to improve California's public infrastructure, preserve the state's natural resources, and strengthen the environment. URS.com. The California Teachers Association, celebrating 150 years of advocating for all students, educators, and California's public schools and colleges. And the California Healthcare Foundation, supporting ideas and innovations to improve healthcare for all Californians, on the web at chcf.org.